Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. When you travel and stay a number of nights in the same hotel room, do you unpack your suitcase? I've tried. I just can't. I can't make use of that dresser that they provide. Somewhere in the back of my head, I keep hearing, you're just not going to be here that long. It's not worth it. No sense in getting too comfortable. This isn't my home. Life on this earth is often compared to a journey. You are born, you live, you grow old, and then you die. And no one escapes this trip. Ralph Waldo Emerson, the famous poet, said, "Life is a journey, not a destination." A Chinese philosopher said, "The journey is the reward." The great Buddha said, "It's better to travel well than to arrive." Almost unanimously, the philosophers and the wise of this world seem to say, it really doesn't matter where you're going, only what you experience along the way. But how odd that sounds compared to the words of Holy Scripture. Whenever the people of God journeyed in the Old Testament, there was always a reason for the journey, a destination at which they were to arrive. It's never about the experience of the journey. It's always about getting someplace. The New Testament is no different. Countless times in St. Matthew's Gospel, Jesus warns people about seeking a reward in this life because it might jeopardize the real reward, which is in heaven. St. Paul says, "Run the race in such a way as to win the prize, to accomplish the goal." Again, he says, "I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task that the Lord Jesus has given to me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace." The exodus of Israel from Egypt wasn't about a long, meandering journey through the desert. It was really about arriving at the promised land. Jesus' trip through the wilderness of sin and to the cross wasn't about what he experienced along the way. It was about the goal, the prize, the conclusion, the "it is finished." Abram and Sarai had their families and their friends and absolutely everything that they needed right where they were. Everything, but not everyone. Even though their ancestor, the righteous man Noah, was not long dead, his descendants had fallen away from the true God and they were worshiping idols. People who could remember hearing stories of the flood had already forgotten about God. Joshua records, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Long ago your forefathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the river, and they worshipped other gods. But I, the Lord, took your father Abraham from the land beyond the river and led him throughout Canaan and gave him many descendants." Did you realize that Abram was an idol worshiper? He may have thought that he had it all in this life, but he didn't have the true God. He wasn't raised as a believer in the promise. His parents were among those who had fallen away and were worshiping idols. But God didn't leave him in that condition. No, instead the Lord came to Abram, his name before the promise was given, and said to him, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And there I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and anyone who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." God called Abram and Sarai to leave their idol-worshipping families, to journey to this new land that he had promised to give to them and to their children. God called them from unbelief to faith in the true God. The writer to the Hebrews has this exactly right. He comments about Abraham's faith. He says, "By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place which he was to receive as an inheritance. He went out not knowing where he was to go. But by faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a foreign land." Luther, too, understands this. He says, "They, Abraham and Sarai, make use of this world as an inn from which they must emigrate in a short time. They do not attach their hearts to the affairs of this life. They tend to worldly matters with their left hand while they raise their right hand upward to the eternal homeland. If some disturbance ever occurs, either in the state or the household, they are perturbed very little, if at all. No matter how they may be treated in this inn, it is satisfactory to them, for they know that eternal mansions have been prepared by the Son of God." This is an extraordinary account of God's mercy to one of his people in the Old Testament. Abram has done nothing to deserve the Lord's call, his blessing, or his mercy. Abram doesn't seek it. He isn't inviting it. And until the Lord does call him, he has no desire whatsoever to leave his father's land and his father's family and all of their idols. But God does call to him. He acts on him from the outside to convert him to faith. Faith so that Abraham can pack his belongings and leave his family and friends and his life of idol worship, the only thing he had ever known, so that he could journey out into the unknown. Through this calling to faith, God makes everything out of a man who in himself is nothing. Your story is not so different. God has been merciful to you as well. He has called you out of your life of sin and darkness. And through baptism, he has forgiven your sins and invited you to travel the way of the cross, which leads to the promised land. The journey itself, as you well know, is not an easy one. It is not always filled with joy and celebration. And you do not know what trials and pitfalls still await you along the way. But that's not really your concern. All that matters is that you have been called out of a land of slavery and death, and you know how this journey will end. This life isn't about living for the moment. It's not about the experience that you have. It's certainly not about the things you accumulate. It isn't about the journey at all. The philosophers are all wrong. It is about the destination. This life is about survival as a foreigner in a hostile land, something that you, like Abram before you, cannot even begin to do on your own. But there is one who knows this land. There is one who knows the way to the promised land. He didn't just point it out to you or send you a map. He came and he traveled that road before you. And he has prepared everything that you will need along the way. He has clothed you and fed you and sent his holy angels to guard and protect you. He didn't care about himself or his own well-being, but only about you and your salvation. The entire goal, the entire end of his life was a cross and death, so that you who believe in him could have a crown and eternal life. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out before us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Just as the Lord led and provided for Abraham all the days of his pilgrimage in the wilderness on the way to the promised land, so too has he been providing for you and leading you. He called you to faith in his promise. He went to the cross and died for you. He has forgiven your idolatry and unbelief and all of your sins. So, to unpack or to live out of the suitcase, it doesn't matter in the least. Enjoy the journey and the many wonderful experiences and the many people that you will meet along the way that are part of this life. Just don't get too comfortable here. You have been called to go someplace much better. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guards and keeps your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.